Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, the president and the CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We thank God for my co-hosts who have been conducting this show, and that is none other than Evangelist Terry Rogers. Certainly she's been doing a great job, and give me some shout-outs, give me some texts to let me know, or calls to say how she blessed your soul, because I know that she does bless mine. So we normally talk about announcements, but I'm not going to talk about those because we've got a lot to talk about on today. But you know, if you got anything or if you want to talk or if you got any questions, November the 5th, we're going to look at starting Amazing Grace School of Ministry. If you have any questions, just give me a call. My telephone number is 309-750-7584. If you like this show, text me. If you don't get an opportunity to get in and listen to it, this show, you can always go back and look us up at Blog Talk Radio / Amazing Grace Ministries and find all of our shows. So we have, getting into the Word, we have been discussing, we have been talking about an end time topic for this season. Certainly, if you look at the news, you'll see that the coronavirus is doubling now, and it seems like we're living in a state of fear, a state of selfishness, a state where people just want to do what they want to do. Depending on the county, you see that they're putting restrictions on what we should do, what we shouldn't do. They're putting restrictions on restaurants and, of course, bars and various people. So we understand that we're living in the last days. And we have been talking about faith. We have been talking about this element that is so crucial to the believer. So today's lesson, the topic is the power of faith, slash or sustained by faith, to live my best life. Want to say R if you want to put R in it, but I want it to be personal, to live your best life. So let's get into the scripture, shall we? Now, we're coming from Hebrews, the 17th through the 22nd verses, and it reads, "The faith of the patriarchs. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense, in a figurative sense, by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his birth." And our main scripture for this month just has been Hebrews, of course, the first three verses, and they read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony." And I'm using the New King James Version. "By faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So I want to talk about some terms. And we talked about living in the first week of this month, and it's just having life as active as a style, active and functioning, full of life. Now, there's some other words that I want to point out to you in this sustain. Sustain, what is sustain? I said life. Let me go back and say living. We talked about living because I want to make sure I gave you the definition for living, having life. Now, that's the definition of living. Now, life, we also talked about, was the sequence of physical and mental existence that make up the existence of an individual, one or more aspects of the process of living. Now, a way or a manner of living. So those things I talked about in the first week of our study on faith. So go back and look at those. Now, some other words that I want to really define is sustain. It's to be strengthened or supported physically or mentally, bear bear the weight of an object without breaking or falling. So when we sustain, we are sustained by faith, means it don't break. And sustained is a adjective, and it's working. It's doing something. It's continuing for an extended period without interruption. So faith being sustained is continued without interruption. Then I talked about powers. The power is defined as the ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or quality, the capacity or the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. It's a physical strength, a force exerted by something or someone. So power, I want you to keep those definitions in mind. Praise the Lord. So in essence, now I forgot one, forgive me. Belief. We have to understand that I need to define belief, and that is acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. Something as exact as something that one expects to be true or real, a firmly held opinion or conviction, religious conviction. Now, when we look at belief, and I want to say this, that when we look at Matthew 9 and 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, when we look at belief system, according to the psychologists, it's a set of beliefs which guide and govern a person's attitude. So what you believe, what you think, will govern what you do, how you act, how you function, how you deal with situations in your life. Is directed towards a system such as religion, philosophy, or ideology. It's an attitude, beliefs that are closely associated with one another and how we retain, even in essence to how we retain our memory. So in essence, a belief system. Your belief system is a set of attitudes and beliefs which support how you go about your life. Now, I hope you got that. So let's get into this. So we are talking about chapter 11. We've been talking about faith this month. It was suggested that we talk about this topic because we are in a storm. We are literally in the boat, and Jesus is sleeping down in the bottom of the boat. So in essence, we are talking about our faith. Now here in chapter 11, the apostle is talking about and recommends the grace of faith and the life of faith as perceived as the patriarchs, how they have lived their life, how they have set in course, set in motion the excellence of how they believe God. And I said, and I talked about belief, because in order for you to have faith, you have got to know that God is faithful. So in essence, here we are. Here we are talking about how they live. This chapter gives an account of our patriarchs and how they lived and how they functioned and how their belief and their function was, and their acting, where how they acted was counted to them as faithfulness. Now, we have great examples in the Old Testament, those who lived by faith and died and suffered extraordinary things by the of his grace. the apostle, having given us more general account of the grace of faith, now proceeds to set before us an illustration of the Old Testament times. This may be divided in two classes. Those names that I mentioned, their particular experience, the exercise, and their acts of faith, what they have gone through in order to live by faith, practicing their beliefs, those names that I mentioned, and also their accounts of their exploits of faith. So one, we can see that when we go down above verse 17, we see by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. You know, it's by faith that we live. It's by faith that we move. It's by faith that we have our being. Even the scriptures talk about the faith of Enoch. He had faith so tough that he didn't see death, but he has this testimony. He pleased God. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that testimony? Can you say that you please God? Can you say that you are living your best life? Then Paul enlarges more upon the hero's accomplishments, the patriarch of faith, his accomplishment, and that was Abraham's. His faith, that he had faith so until he was called to the promised land. And this call, he left his country, he left his family, he was called out to another country, and he left according to the call. You know, we're called of God, but we're shaky, we don't understand, but he found God to be faithful. And he left, and when he left in Genesis 12 and 1, he was called again after his father passed. And he was called out to go somewhere that he didn't know, he didn't understand, but after he got to that place, he would receive an inheritance. And that heavenly inheritance, or that heavenly place, was Canaan. And for his inheritance, his generations to come, the future generations, because of his call, would be blessed. They would inherit a promise, even to the line or the generation of Jesus. God called Abraham, and when he called Abraham, he tells Abraham by faith, I need you to leave. And that's what God does. God calls us by faith because he understands who we are and what we will be. We will be something in him, but that's only because of our faith. You know, we talk about living our best life. We're talking about living, sustaining this life through Christ Jesus. And even in this scripture, even in Abraham's day, God is saying, you know what? Your seed is going to be blessed. Not only will your seed receive an inheritance, but your seed will be in the same line of Jesus Christ. And they will inherit at that time, the earthly Canaan, but we have a heavenly inheritance through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The old saints used to say, this is not my world. Hallelujah. I'm just passing through, but I'm not going to get excited. I got a lesson. So God calls his people to an inheritance. By his effectual call, he makes them children and so heirs. This inheritance is not immediately possessed by them. They must wait some time for it. But the promise is sure, and shall have it, and it shall be accomplished. Hallelujah. We've got to wait. You know, it doesn't matter who our parents are, where we've come from. But God is faithful. Now, the exercise of Abraham's faith yielded an implicit regard to the call of God. He went out not knowing whether he went. He put himself into the hand of God to send him whatsoever God pleased. God will send us some places. God will give us gifts and talents. God will speak to our hearts. But we have to know and we have to believe that God is faithful. So in essence, we see here that Abraham sojourned to another land, a strange country, if you will, but his faith sustained him. And we see that God even, or the Apostle Paul, even mentioned his wife, Sarah. We see the faith that sustained her. You know, faith cometh by hearing. We growing. We making mistakes, and we will make mistakes. Sarah was told that she's going to give birth, and she laughed. Me in my old age, shall I give birth? But we see that a year later, she gave birth. She gave birth to the seed. She gave birth to the promise. So in essence, she is also listed here as a person whose faith sustains them, whose faith. She may have unbelieved at first, but she get it right. It's not how we stop this race, but how we finish it that proves all the more. So her acting of faith, she unbelieved at first, but that was forgotten. Hallelujah. You know, we thank God that God will forget those things that are sins. Hallelujah. Once we commit our lives, when we repent of our sins, once we know that God is able, once we get right with the Lord, he puts all that stuff in the sea of forgetfulness, and Satan tries to bring it up. Those insecurities that I have, God, I can't speak well. I can't function in this realm. But God puts all of that in the sea of forgetfulness and says that you can do all things through Christ. There is nothing that you can't do. Hallelujah. If you put your hands in me. Hallelujah. So in essence, some stuff is going to go wrong. We're going to have trial and error. Things are going to happen. We're going to fail. Because sometimes we're going to say, I got this, Lord. And God is saying, okay, well, if you got it, all right. All right, I'll stand by the shore and let you get it. And we fail miserably. But then God comes along and we repent. And God comes along and he builds us up and he brings us back to that place in him. So in essence, the fruits and the rewards of her faith, she received strength to conceive, the strength of nature as well as grace is from God. He can make the barren soul fruitful as well as the barren womb. And we see in the Bible that her womb was barren. She was delivered of a child, a man child, a child of the promise and comfort of his parents' advanced years, meaning, hallelujah, she was in her old age, the hope of a future generation. From them, this son sprang numerous prodigies. And of the stars, the scripture is saying, you will be blessed as many as the sky. The stars of the sky, you can't even count them. Out of this air, out of this sun, you will be blessed. Now, it is important that we remember the statement that says that as the stars of the sky, meaning his seed, he will produce heirs, generations upon generations upon generations, and they will be blessed. They will be blessed, so they will be great and they will be powerful. Hallelujah. Of all the rest of the world, the nation of the saints, the peculiar church. Hallelujah, the people of God. And we are a peculiar people. People don't understand us, but we're standing on the promises. And then it says, according to the flesh, the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forevermore. So in essence, the word is saying the Messiah is going to come through this line. And we know by reading our word that Jesus has came and we have been adopted in the world, the family of God, and we are new creations. So the patriarch here, Paul, not the patriarch, Paul is talking about the faith of our patriarchs, the faith of those that have come before us, the trials of the faith, the imperfections of their state. But it was promised to them. They received things promised. They had yet not been in the promise or the possession of Canaan, but they believed. God tells you that you're going to get a promise, but you're not there yet, but it's coming. And certainly they believed. They acted in faith during an imperfect state of things. They had not received the promise, and yet we're living in a society that is imperfect. We're living in a time where it seems that everything can go wrong, but God calls us to a life of faith. Now, faith has a clear and a strong eye and can see the promised mercies at a great distance. Now, we keep talking about Abraham. I'm sure Abraham didn't see, he knew that his heritage or his seed will be blessed. But could he see, or the word says, he saw Jesus at afar off, and he rejoiced. And John 8 and 56 confirms that. They were persecuted. They were persuaded of them that were true and should be fulfilled. Faith sets to it its seal that God is true and thereby settles and sacrifices the soul. Their faith was a faith of consent. Faith has a long arm and can lay hold of blessings at a great distance, can make them present, can love them and rejoice in them, and thus the enjoyment of those things. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, but yet strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and we are, but God has a home for us, not made by hand. And our home is in heaven. And they know and they knew that even though I'm traveling on this earth, that one day I am going to see my Savior. I'm going to see my God. And we are striving. We are endeavoring. We are moving forward. We are moving on. We are living in a time where people are lovers of themselves, where people don't want to give, don't even want to wear a mask. But we know that even in these examples, that God is faithful. Hallelujah. And we see it in the patriarchs. We see it in the trial and the exercise of Abraham's faith. Now, even when we look at Abraham in Genesis 22 and 10 had the greatest trial of all. After God had blessed him to give birth to a son, God calls him to sacrifice his only son. Now, because of Sarah's sin, she didn't believe. She said, I'm going to give you my handmaiden, and you go into her. And he had a son, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promise. Hallelujah. Isaac was the promise. Hallelujah. So in essence, Abraham was told or instructed by God, called of God, to leave your land, to leave your people you knew, to leave your relatives and go to a land that I'm going to show you, a promised land, and I'm going to show it to you. In the midst of all of that, he come upon some trials. Now, he was tempted and tried of his faith. He faced famine. He was forced out of Canaan and into Egypt. He fought five kings to rescue Lot. Sarah was taken from him by Abimelech, and many other situations. So when we look at the trials and tribulation that Abraham went through, we understand that we're going to go through some stuff. We are going to suffer, but in the end, we win. Now, the most challenging of that suffering was the fact that God called him to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, Genesis 22:2 reads, "Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. Take the son, not one of the beasts or the slaves, thy only son by Sarah, Isaac by laughter, the child of thy joy and delight, whom thou lovest as thine own soul. Take him away to a distant place, 3 days' journey, the land of Moriah. Do not only leave him there, but offer him for a burnt offering, the greatest trial that he has ever endured." Hallelujah. But he is mentioned in the book, The Chronicles of Faith. And we know the story. He was put upon it. He did as requested of the Lord. He took his son to Mount Moriah. And certainly the lad said, "Look, I see the wood. I see everything that is needed for a burnt offering, but I don't see the sacrifice." Come on now. And he says what the Lord will provide. Come on, that's faith, y'all. That's faith. That's living your best life. That's being sustained by faith. That's offering. That's believing God no matter what. And then in the scriptures it says that he believed that God would raise his son up from the dead. Now, this is the son that he got, that he was conceived by Sarah. And we know that was Sarah's only son. So he had to have some faith, because you know, you're talking about putting my only son, the son that I have waited on 90 years to conceive, and you gonna kill my son? Man, you better have a plan in this. We can see Sarah just resounding these words. The fact that you are going to take the only begotten son from his wife Sarah, the only one he has had from her, and you going to sacrifice him? Come on now. So we understand this act was by faith. We can see that this was the greatest trial he had. But what did he do, y'all? He obeyed. He did what was commanded of him. And if we read the scriptures, we understand that he put the altar up. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He laid Isaac on the altar, and as when the knife was going to go in for that sacrifice, what did the Lord do? The Lord said, "Stop, stay thy hand, don't sacrifice Isaac. Now I know that your faith stands assured." About a couple of weeks ago, about that fire, that consuming fire, our faith will be tested, because God has got to see what we're made of. And in essence, it's almost like a contradiction, because what we made of, he's put in us, and we just have to believe. I gave you the definition of believing because it is so important. And we gave you the points on last week about faith. We can't do anything without faith. We've got to live by faith. We've got to speak faith. Faith has got to be in our belief system. It's got to be what we think, what we eat, what we see. And if we read the scriptures, we know that over in the thicket, there was the reserve. There was a goat in the thicket. Where it came from, we don't know, but we know it was there because God put it there. And that was what he took to make the sacrifice, to complete the sacrifice. God wants to know where you're at. What's your faith? What you believe? Do you believe that I'm going to supply your needs? Do you believe I'm going to keep you in the time of coronavirus? Do you believe that I can do all things through, that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you? Do you believe? But in John 10:10, it says the thief cometh. That means Satan is going to come to steal your belief system. He's going to come to steal your state of mind. He's going to come to make you depressed. He's going to come to tell you, why do you need to wear a mask? Well, the Bible says, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what's God. If the CDC is saying we need to wear a mask, then that's what we need to do because we're operating in the laws of the land. Hallelujah, because we have to according to the Bible. There are rules and restrictions that we walk by because that's what God instructs us to do. We do not go outside the laws of this land, but we walk in the laws of this land as Christ has given us guidance and instructions. We understand that this is not my home. Hallelujah. So then we look at the elements of faith. We look at the patriarchs. We look at the fact that God found Abram to be faithful. We look at the fact that he went down to the 19th verse, praise the Lord, and he received his son. But you have to understand, this is so symbolic. His son was a symbolic symbol of what would happen to Christ Jesus, that Christ would be offered up as a sacrifice for us. The son of promise, was given because Adam and Eve had sinned. The son of promise was given so that we may have life, and that life more abundantly, so that we don't have to shrink, we don't have to slide, we don't have to be ashamed, we don't have to walk in rejection, we don't have to walk in shame, because Christ paid it all, because he is that lamb, that sacrificial lamb that died on the cross that makes us good enough. Through Christ Jesus, I can do all things, not some things, but all things. I am an heir to the promise. God has given me life, and I can live that life more abundantly down here because that is the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the promise that God has given me. Now he goes on and he talks about Isaac. He talks about his faith. He talks about his ordeal in faith, how he blessed Jacob. He had two sons, y'all, and his wife was also barren. That's another subject that I think we might get into. Hallelujah. But he blessed his son. Now it's almost like the second son is blessed. Ishmael was the first son, but the blessing wasn't on Ishmael. Isaac was the second son, and then Isaac come along, and he's mentioned here because he blessed Jacob. Hallelujah. Instead of Esau. But he got confused because God said the blessing is in your second son, not your first son. But then he counted him faithful, and he recognized that by faith the blessing is in Jacob, and therefore he's blessed. You know, we are going to struggle again. Esau again, another person is struggling with their faith. We see Sarah struggling with her faith. We see Esau struggle, not Esau, but Isaac struggled with his faith. So there's some examples of the fact that we will struggle. We will have some problems believing. But that's when we get in our prayer closet and we start praying. That's when we get and start seeking God. That's when we turn off the television and stop allowing all that mess to enter into our belief system. Our belief system is influenced by what we see. Because there's the eyes, there's the gates. There are gates on our body. What we see, what we hear, those senses, how our sense of touch, all of those are gateways. And material comes in. And when material comes in, then we believe what we see and hear. But we have to hear, we have to be sensitive to the word of God. What is God saying? What is God communicating to us today? What is he saying so that I may hear, so that I may strengthen? Now, I said faith cometh by hearing and the hearing of the word of the Lord. We talked about faith being confidence. Confidence, belief in truth. Hallelujah. A value, a trustworthiness of a person, idea, thing. We talked about keys. So we've been talking about faith all this month. Keys. Hallelujah. We see that there's struggle sometimes, and we're going to have some struggles. But oh, hallelujah. We get right. We turn it off. We pray. We seek God, and he does what he bids. When the word of God starts ministering, when the word of God starts speaking, when the word of God says you healed, you shall live and not die, when the words of that word of God spring up from the book and start talking to our heart, start talking to our mind, start giving us confidence, start giving us confidence in who we believe, standing on the word, because that word is alive, it's active, it comes in to change us, it comes in to take out everything that's not like you, like the Lord. It comes in to motivate us. It comes in to give us new understanding. It comes in to give us revelation, impartation, and it manifests itself in what we do and say. That's the word of God. It takes us from point A to point B. God knows who you are. He knows what you're going to become. And it is the faith in our faith system that gets us from point A to point B. You may not understand where you're going. You may not understand your situation, but God is in it. Just fret not yourself. Fret not yourself with evildoers, because God has got you. God will take you where you need to go, because God is faithful. And this chapter is saying, my God is faithful. If I did it for the patriarchs of old, how much more am I going to do it for you? Because God is saying, I am faithful. I will take you even in your trials and tribulations. And both those trials and tribulations are to make you. They are to take out everything that's not like God. And we've got some stuff in us. We've got some unbelief in us. We've got some attitudes in us. We got some unlove in us. We got some stuff that's tangled all up in us. Hallelujah. There's some problems. There's some situations that we have been holding on. There's some hatred. There's some unforgiveness in us that we've been holding on to. And God is saying today, let it go. 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 Let my word do for you what it should and needs to do. Let it sanctify you. Let it change you. Let it give you the right attitude. Let it change you to a person I'm calling you to be. And those trials and tribulations are making you. Hallelujah. Now, it is your job to say, Lord, search me. Take out everything that's not like you, because the premise of our faith is that we can't have faith without God. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is him that gives it to us. It is him that sustains us. And we've got to look to the hills from which cometh our help. For what it says, our help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got to give God a praise party. You know, that's a song by LaNasia Tyson's Praise Party. Hallelujah. We've got to praise God. We've got to praise Him in season and out of season. We've got to praise Him when things are right, when things are wrong. We've got to praise and magnify the Lord. We've got to praise Him, God, like we have lost our minds, even in the midst of Corona. I'm just praising you. God, we've got to have time and devote some time in the morning to give Him His due. Bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will exalt Him. I will lift Him up. Why? Because God is faithful. God has brought me out of the past. He's going to bring me out of this. You know, there's some of us, we were low down, we were trifling, we were bad. But because of God's word, it has changed us. When we look back over our lives, when we look back over the situations that we were in, we see that God has been faithful. So therefore, we can live our best life. We are sustained by faith. And God continues to bless us. Y'all, I've run over my time. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the word that you've given. I pray, God, for the listeners that have listened to me on this morning. I pray that you will give them a blessing like they never received before. I pray, God, that you'll move them where they need to go, that you will be in their lives, that you will give them an extraordinary faith. God, that you will be present with them. God, we need you like never before, and your word sustains us. Your word comforts us. And because your word is true, and even in faith, Father God, we read in the scriptures that even concerning our faith, even concerning how we live, but we have to have faith even in how we die. And God, we pray, God, that you'll move. We pray, God, that you will increase our faith, that you will increase our even our relationship with you. Take out everything that's not like you, God, and draw us close to you. And Father God, if there are any on this line that don't know you and the pardon of their sins, I pray, God, that they confess their sins and accept you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You also said, by your stripes we're healed. We cover anybody that is ill or sick. We pray, God, you said to come, if you're sick, any sick among you, to call for the elders. And therefore, Father God, as an elder, I pray for them. I pray for their healing. Because, God, they have connected with this ministry. And as they have connected with this ministry, I pray for them. I pray for their blessings. I pray, God, that you will give them the desires of their heart according to thy will, thy purpose, God. Heal, deliver, and set free. If somebody is going through trials and tribulations, Father God, I pray, God, that you comfort them like never before. I pray, God, that you be their Lord and their Savior, and that you will guide them in this world, in this time. And Father God, we thank you. We praise your name. Give us a desire to seek you more, and give us a praise on our lips. These are the many blessings I ask in your Son's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for this time. If you found this lesson to be blessing, you can text me 309-750-7584, but you can also listen to it again. You can go on Facebook, connect to Maria Carey or Amazing Grace Ministries, that's our page. You can hit the link and you can hear this message again in its entirety. I would pray if something has been a blessing to you that you let me know. And I will pray also that you will continue to lift up this ministry in your prayers as we endeavor to serve the Lord with everything that we have. This ministry is about serving God. It's about allowing people or educating or teaching, first of all, people to understand the Word of God as it relates to their mental capacity. So again, I pray that you will continue to keep me in your prayers. Also continue to keep my co-host in your prayers. I pray, God, that you'll lift us up on a daily basis and be blessed. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.